at Kogo.com. Here in my car, I feel safest of all. I can lock all my doors.
It's the only way to live in cars. Welcome back. Martin Mosier is past president of the La Jolla Town Council and a current member, appointed member of the La Jolla Community Parking District Advisory Board. The advisory board holding a couple hours of public comments on the question of whether or not to install parking meters in the La Jolla Village area. A parking meter subject comes up pretty regularly along the coast in a lot of communities and in a lot of other communities for that matter. So kind of an interesting dynamic here. Martin Mosier, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Roger.
I got the first email asking if we would be interested in having you on from somebody named Leslie Wade from Wade Communications Incorporated.
Yes.
Do you guys have a PR firm?
We used to have a PR firm. We do not anymore. We have no money. We have no income. So we have no PR firm. We have no employees.
So is Leslie Wade a volunteer?
She is not employed by us. She used to work with us and work with Promote La Jolla.
Okay. So, but I mean, is she donating her time?
Yes, for this issue, yes.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right. Now, on this subject, you guys didn't make an action last night on this after advertising you would. What happened?
Mr. Aguirre, the city attorney, sent me a letter at 11 o'clock a.m. Yesterday morning, suggesting that we could not act.
Until you filed your financial disclosure statement.
That's his position. The city council, in my opinion, on February 26th, gave us a different opinion. They have a resolution that they passed saying that the parking boards could continue to act until the city council came up with a conflict code. So I believe that there's a conflict between the city attorney's office and the city council on this issue. And the city council was the one that authorized us to give advice to the city council, and I would prefer to follow the requests and desires of the city council than the city attorney's office.
All right. So so why didn't you give an opinion last night then?
The letter only reached us at yesterday morning. It's a three-page letter, and I haven't really had a chance to completely review that letter and figure out exactly what it says.
So because of the potential problem regarding financial disclosure statements for this parking district, the members, you guys decided not to make a decision last night?
I decided that would not be prudent to go forward. Don't get me wrong, Roger. Our board probably 2 or 3 months ago decided that we were willing to file the financial disclosure statements. We're all willing to disclose what property we own in La Jolla. There's no question that our board would not do that. The question is, we are governed by the city council, and the city council is in the process of determining which form, if any, we need to file. In the meantime, the city council has determined that we do not have to file.
Yeah.
So there's a conflict here.
Yeah. All right, Martin Mosier with us, La Jolla Community Parking District Advisory Board chair. You're the chair, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. All right, now, let's see. This all came about because of a proposal to put in parking meters.
Yeah, I'm not going to use the word meters, but some kind of pay and display, paid on-street parking was one of many possible parking management tools that that our board was considering, along with other tools also, along with other possible solutions such as changing the multiple 1 and 2 hour time limits to 90 minutes, providing more free green zones in the center of each block, trying to get the employees off the street. Better mass transit. I think things that most communities would like to see in their community, but would have a difficult time implementing because there's no funding mechanism to, for example, subsidize employee parking and put them in garages. So we were looking at possibly charging for on-street parking in order to raise possibly some money to accomplish some of these goals. The Council Policy 100-18 also allows us to do landscaping and improve sidewalks and lighting, noble things within any community. So the paid parking is just one element of that.
According to the San Diego Union-Tribune, Martin Mosier with us, according to the San Diego Union-Tribune this morning, at that meeting, and I wasn't there, at that meeting, paid parking was really the controversial issue, whether it's paid through parking meters or some other mechanism.
That's correct. It's a big issue, although our board never mentioned paid marking, nor do we ever discuss it at the meeting yesterday.
No, not yesterday, but I think it's fair. Is it fair to say that there was a proposal for paid parking that turned all these people out?
Well, what happened was that last September, as part of an overall parking management solution for La Jolla, the possibility of paid parking was mentioned as an element of this plan, and we invited the community to come back and comment on all the elements of the plan, including potential paid parking. But it's certainly not the only element of the plan. There's a lot of other components of this plan, as I mentioned earlier.
Okay, but is it fair to say that it's the paid parking that is the controversial element?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and is it also fair to say that that was a proposal before your board?
It was not a proposal before the board yesterday, but it has been a basic tool that has been considered and would probably still be considered by our parking board. Yes. The answer to the question is yes.
Thank you. Now, were you appointed by Mr. Peters?
I am appointed by Promote La Jolla and confirmed by Mr. Peters.
Promote La Jolla is what?
The local business improvement district.
Okay. And that's when you say Promote La Jolla, is that an elected board?
Yes, it is. It's an elected board of the over 1,200 businesses that have business licenses within La Jolla.
Because that's a little odd, because last night, as I took it from the Union Tribune article, it was mostly small business owners who were opposed to the idea of paid parking.
I'm sure that there are many small business owners opposed to paid parking in the village. I also feel that there are probably and know that there are many other business owners that are in favor of paid parking within the community. But certainly it's a very controversial component, the paid parking is, and I would not dispute that there are many businesses that are opposed to it.
Have you taken a poll of your members of the Improve La Jolla to find out how many of them are in favor, how many are opposed?
Well, Roger, I'm glad you mentioned this. Promote La Jolla had an election in September, and the current board, which was generally in favor of our parking plan, which if you want to call it, also included a paid parking element, was entirely reelected. There was a small exception to that in that the two of the people were ruled ineligible to be reelected, and they were replaced by others. But the entire slate of people that had supported our parking program was reelected to the board of Promote La Jolla, and I believe that was last September or October. So of the 1,200 members, I feel that they did speak at that time. I'm not disputing that there aren't many businesses opposed to this plan, though.
Do you think it's a majority, or has there been any polling in that regard?
We have not done any actual polling of the entire membership. However, I do have a map that I have seen that shows the business property owners on some streets, for example, Prospect, Wall, Ivanhoe, some portions of Girard, and a majority of those business property owners are in favor of this plan.
Okay, and that would be a majority of all business owners? Or
no, not a majority of all business owners, a majority of business property owners on those streets that I just mentioned.
All right, Martin Mosier with us, La Jolla Community Parking District Advisory Board. Now, Martin, what's the next step?
That's a good question. The city attorney's office has basically tried to handcuff this particular board and they're not taking any action whatsoever, despite what I consider the city council's action on February 26th, which was to reaffirm that these parking advisory boards are just that. We're advisory. In other words, all we can do is give advice to the city. We're not able to raise money. We're not able to spend money, particularly in the case of La Jolla. We're not able to make any decisions. The city council set up the La Jolla Community Parking District Advisory Board to advise the city of San Diego as to possible parking management solutions. And all we're trying to do is give the city that advice. But there seems to be a very strong element within the community that doesn't even want us to meet, particularly the city attorney's office. It doesn't want us to discuss anything, and certainly doesn't want to give our advice to the city, no matter what that is.
Okay, well, you're the chairman. What's next?
I'm not really sure. we would like to meet again. Our board would like to meet. I think we'd like to discuss these issues. We had a presentations of two or three other plans yesterday. We'd like to consider those items, if the city attorney's office will let us consider the items. We'd like to discuss them. And we'd like to move forward with some advice to the city. Whether or not that includes paid parking or not remains to be seen. Paid parking is, just like I said, one of many, many management tools that are available to our parking board as one.
Yeah, but I think it's also true, isn't it, that if you don't have the source of revenue, as you described it earlier, then you're not going to be able to do all the other good things that you were talking about in that list of things you'd like to do if you don't have money.
That's absolutely correct.
So let's face this squarely. You want revenues from parking in order to continue to do good things in the community with regard to landscaping and other issues you mentioned, right?
I would like to have revenue to do those things, but the basic premise of paid parking is that it regulates parking and forces those people, for example, employees, off the street and into garages, because what is now free becomes paid. As a side benefit of paid parking, you also get this revenue.
Oh, so the number one issue and the number one goal of paid parking would be to get employees of businesses in La Jolla off the street.
That's correct. Off the commercial streets and into the garages where I think our board, or at least speaking for myself, I feel they belong. So if parking on the street is free, why shouldn't they continue to park on the street? And not only are they taking up spaces for customers, but I would imagine that many of your listeners do not go to La Jolla because the traffic situation is difficult, the parking situation is difficult, and when they arrive here, it is overwhelming sometimes for some people. I know some of your listeners would disagree with me, but I also know that many of them would agree with me that the parking situation in La Jolla causes what would be our potential customers in La Jolla to go somewhere else.
All right, Martin Mosier, can you hang on? I'm going to take a break and then take some calls.
Absolutely, Roger.
Good. 519 KOGO Wartime. Our phone number, 569-TALK, 569-8255. Your reaction to the paid parking in La Jolla after we take a traffic break. Cal Walker with a report brought to you by Sleep Train Mattress Center.
Still awfully tough on the San Diego freeways today, Roger. South 5, for example, down through downtown from...
Coco. And Martin Mosier with us, La Jolla Community Parking District Advisory Board Chair.
Yes.
Appreciate your being with us. Let's take Cameron in La Jolla, take some calls here. Cameron, go ahead.
Hi, Martin.
Hey, Cameron, how you doing?
Fine, how are you?
Okay.
Hi, Roger.
Yeah, go ahead, Cameron.
Okay, well, I was at the meeting yesterday, and I know a lot about the situation also. I've lived in La Jolla for 50 years. And yesterday the results were announced at the meeting of an unbiased La Jolla metered parking survey. 642 businesses opposed to on-street paid parking, 73 businesses in favor. So I don't know how Martin can say that he's looking at a map and most of them are in favor. That is just totally inaccurate.
Martin.
Roger, we're talking about businesses and business owners versus business property owners. Council policy requires us to survey for on-street parking the owners of business property, and we surveyed the owner of business property on particular streets, as I mentioned, Prospect, Herschel, Ivanhoe, Wall Street, portions of Girard, and our survey concluded that the business property owners on, and I admit, a limited number of streets supported this proposal. I'm sure that, as I said earlier, there's a large number of businesses and possibly not retail businesses, but there are lots of different types of businesses in La Jolla that do oppose this.
Okay. Okay. In other words, you didn't want to take into account the opinion of those business owners who were not also property owners?
Yes, we would like to take it into their. Yes, we do want their opinion, and we are considering that.
That's not what you said.
I said the council policy requires us to also look at business property owners, and actually the owner of the property, the owner of the building, rather than the owner of the business. And I think what Cameron is talking about, and I'm not saying that her survey is wrong, I'm not saying it's invalid, I think it's a very useful survey. I'm saying that it possibly was a survey of business owners, as in shop owners, as in business owners, as compared to the property owners.
Let me go back to a statement you made too, Martin, about the employees being the objective here to get them into other parking so that customers will have more parking in La Jolla. Customers of these businesses, we have metered parking and paid parking in North Park, and employees of businesses up there simply find it cheaper to go to the metered parking, and then when the two-hour limit is up, to run their car around to another metered parking place and put in the money there. Because
that's correct.
So how are you going to take that into account? This hasn't worked. In other words, your plan doesn't work in another part of the town.
Well, it doesn't work when you have two-hour parking. So we've suggested as part of our plan 90-minute parking, which means that instead of employee coming out every 2 hours, they have to come out every 90 minutes. And the other solution to that is to do what other cities in California have done, particularly the city of Monterey. It requires cars to be moved a minimum distance of 150 feet after the expiration of that 90-minute or two-hour time limit. So it requires the employees to move their car further and further away from the business, and it requires them to do more often. You're correct. At 2 hours, it's not very effective. But at 90 minutes, which is what I would be in favor of, I think it would be a lot more effective.
To Jerry in La Jolla. Jerry, you're on with Martin Mosier. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Roger. I'm just a local resident here in La Jolla, and I've been going to these parking meetings since they started, and you know, the reality is, if you go to those meetings, almost everybody's against it. The people that are for it, of course, are the people in control of Promote La Jolla, and, of course, the people on the parking board. And, of course, Promote La Jolla with Scott Peters is one of the reasons that this parking board came into existence. And the real genesis of the parking board is to generate money, and that came from the city of San Diego. Their whole idea is to create these parking districts so they can generate money. And, of course, this parking board is trying to solve this elusive problem that they won't really define, and that is that there's a parking problem in La Jolla. Well, if you go to these meetings, you talk to a lot of people in La Jolla, most people, including myself, I don't really think we have a parking problem. So, you know, there's a real question whether there is a problem. Of course, they came up with this whole idea that paid on-street parking was going to solve this elusive problem that they can't define. But one of the things they want to do is drive these employees into the garages. Well, if they put paid on-street parking, what's going to happen is drive these employees deeper into the residential neighborhoods. So it's not going to solve that problem. The only thing that's going to solve that problem is the actual businesses in La Jolla to provide parking for their employees. Now, if they really want to solve this elusive problem, what they ought to do is increase enforcement. It's proven, and the city knows, that they could improve the parking because they don't have adequate enforcement. Of course, the parking district says, well, we can't do that because we don't have any money. So it's one of these chicken-egg things, and that's the whole genesis of the parking board, and that is to generate money.
Yeah.
They have all these other
ideas. All right, Jerry, I got to run. I appreciate that. I think we got your point. All right, Martin, sounds like you need more meetings, Martin.
No, I think we're going to have more meetings, but a quick response to what Jerry said. It's true. There is money for the community. The city council provides at least 45%, and we're hoping for 80 to 90% of the paid on-street parking revenue, if there was any, to come back to the community. And we don't think that's a bad thing. Money is not necessarily a bad thing.
Oh, I thought you were going to get all of it.
No, there's never any suggestion that we would get 100%. We're hoping to get 80 to 90%.
But you think you might get 60?
No, our plan calls for a minimum of 80 with a target of 90%.
And this will be up to the city council?
It's up to the city council, that's correct.
Martin, how long have you been alive?
I've been here since 1948, Roger.
I see. And how many city councils have you encountered?
Many. But I am encouraged by the two other parking districts, Pacific Beach and Old Town. They are also asking for 80 to 90%.
And how much have they gotten?
We haven't come forward with our plan yet. But there is no loss of revenue to the city. And Roger, you keep telling us that the city's broke and that we shouldn't look to the city for services. And I think as responsible citizens, we should grab this situation and say, okay, the city's not going to be able to help our community or any other community any more than it already is. It's not going to be able to provide us with more enforcement. And that we should be responsible citizens and say, how are we going to accomplish these things ourselves? And the city has given us an opportunity by allowing much of this revenue, somewhere
right,
at a minimum of 45, but as much as 80 or 90%, to come back to the community for what I think you and I would agree would be worthwhile things.
Martin Mosier, thanks for being on La Jolla Community Parking District Advisory Board. We're taking a run now at the news, back after the bottom of the hour. If you are concerned about what all this latest financial news means with regard to mortgage payments, we'll get to that. I tell you what, let's hold a couple of these calls, though, first on the parking thing. And I got a few more things to say, too, as you might imagine, after this.
AM 600.
want to get, given the financial news these days, some kind of fix on what's going on mortgages. We'll get to that in just a minute. But first, a lot of calls on the parking district, so I want to get to that. Janet in La Jolla, you're next. Janet, hi.
Hi, Roger. I just wanted to make the point that the parking is not the issue. The issue for people shopping or coming to La Jolla is getting in and out of La Jolla. I have lived in La Jolla my entire life, 52 years, and I find parking without any problem. I may have to drive around the block once, but I always find parking. And the other thing about the employees in garages, how are they going to afford to pay for parking in garages? And the businesses, how are they supposed to pay for it? I mean, they're having a hard enough time surviving. And then, of course, the topic of how many garages are there that can house the employee parking anyway? So,
well, for that reason, I think, Jennifer, all those reasons, I think that the survey you heard about earlier, where just the vast majority of business owners as opposed to the property owners,
exactly,
are very much opposed to this.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
They already have a burden of surviving.
Well, they do. And, you know, it's not easy to get in or out of La Jolla. Access is a huge problem.
Right.
Probably bigger than parking.
Exactly.
Nobody's talking about putting in a big four-lane road,
right,
a new road,
right,
into La Jolla.
Right.
Boy, that
right.
would make me unpopular down there.
I'm surprised. Martin's been here as well his whole life. I can't really quite understand why he's taking this position. It surprises me.
Well, what I got out of it was that they need a local revenue source of some kind to do the kinds of upgrading,
right,
of landscaping, and, you know, that makes some sense. Some parking enforcement, stuff the city won't do, even though you all are paying the highest amount of property tax of any community in the city.
Right, right. It would be just like Prop MM. The funds wouldn't get there anyway.
It's, you know, that's the other thing. I wanted to be gentle about it, but anybody who believes that this city council would have a revenue source coming from parking meters that they wouldn't just steal,
right,
I don't think they've been paying attention.
Right, right.
So, I'm trying to be gentle about it, but please.
Yep.
All right, Janet, thanks. Appreciate it. Marion in La Jolla is next. Hi, Marion.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you that they mentioned at one of the meetings that I live around the corner from where you used to live. I live on Sea Ridge. And they said that they would put in not parking meters. They would charge us. You could buy as much as 2 parking spaces in front of your house for your use. But they were going to charge you something on the order of $25 a month per space.
In front of your house?
My house.
Wait. In other words, it's not just a business thing? It's in front of your house?
In front of my house, you know. As soon as they get them in La Jolla and they work out so well, you know, then they're going to tell you that the people, they're going to start with those people that live in the residence near downtown. But eventually they're going to come to us, because if you remember your neighborhood, we have a lot of servers that come and park here. And they said that they would eventually have to fix it so that people that live here would have to pay to have parking spaces in front of their own house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Can you imagine when I...
No. No,
so,
I can't.
I mean, you know, that's coming to this neighborhood eventually if they get their foot in down there.
I mean, you're as south in La Jolla as you can get.
Right. We have to always tell everybody on the last house in La Jolla, I look right at the surfing park.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. All right, Marion, thanks. Appreciate the call. All right, so one more. Otis in La Jolla. Go ahead, Otis.
Yeah, Roger, I'm a part owner of a La Jolla business, and we pay dearly for our parking. Is for our 12 employees as part of our overhead. And
where do you park them in? You mean in a garage?
No, we have little slots laid out, numbered, and we have to make sure we have the right count, and they give us tickets if we're outside of our slots. And this is part of my overhead.
So it's private parking, but you pay for it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's part of the rent. So if I add employees, then I got to pay more rent.
Got it.
And I don't understand why these guys get off of trying to tax the people or the rest of us, the taxpayers, for their obligation. Their employees, give them parking. That's my only point.
All right, Otis, I appreciate the call. I mean, this is not going to go away because, again, and I only raise this issue, most of you don't live in La Jolla, and I don't, but most of you don't live in La Jolla. But all of you are affected by local city governments who spend nine-tenths of their time trying to figure out how to get more money out of your pocket. And it's getting increasingly creative because guys like me keep calling them on it. But here's one of the old tried and true parking meters. Wow. All right, I appreciate the participation there. Let me go to, look, this is pretty well known because you've been keeping up on the news, that the federal government has now put out pretty much a floor under mortgages, dropped the interest rates dramatically, tried to make more money available for mortgages in an attempt to soften the blow of the subprime crisis, the 100% loans with the values going down, the adjustables that are coming up on, you know, doubling your mortgage payment and all those things that we know about. So is any of this federal maneuvering working? Well, let's go to our expert, Mehran Aram from Aramco Mortgage. Mehran, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Roger. It's been a while.
It has been a while. I appreciate you being available to us today. Can you give us a summary, a thumbnail? What do people out there who are scratching their head going, okay, what's going on with the mortgage stuff? Give us a little thumbnail on what is going on.
But one of the things we have to remember is the majority of people out there are not in trouble and about to lose their home. So given that that's the case, I do want to spend some time on just the average person who has good income, decent equity, and they stand to benefit tremendously from what's been happening. The group of people who are still going to have trouble are those who have their homes are upside down, the value is just not there, their home is worth, let's say, less than their loan amount. Those are trouble areas. People who have major credit issues and also they have a high loan-to-value ratio or they always did a stated income with no tax returns and they have very little equity, those areas have not really been addressed. There's still trouble there. But the majority of people are able to benefit from a lot of things that have happened recently. For one thing, first-time home buyers can still benefit tremendously from 100% financing available as long as your area is not considered a declining market area. And when the appraisal is marked, they don't want to, you know, if it's marked declining market, they would make it 95%. So that's a great time. A first-time home buyer can buy homes at a discount right now, and they can benefit from lower mortgage rates as well. Homeowners with lines of credit, they're usually tied to the prime rate. The prime rate used to be 8.25%. Last summer, it is now 5.25%. That's a major, major drop in your cost of borrowing there. Homeowners and home buyers with loan amounts above $417,000. They used to be considered jumbo loans, and the rates have been running 1 to 1.5% higher since the mortgage meltdown of last summer. Well, now we have those being considered what they call conforming jumbos, and they have a category of their own. So the rate is not quite as low as the conforming, but it's nowhere as high as the jumbo. So people can get much, much lower rates on those and benefit tremendously. The other couple of groups that we have to mention definitely are homeowners with adjustable rates that will soon be adjusting, and they usually adjust in the 7 to 8% range. Well, you know, you can refinance now and get a 30-year fixed in the mid-5s. So the rates are extremely good. Also, homeowners with higher interest rates, second mortgages, usually these are fixed rates because if they had lines of credit, they've already adjusted down with the prime rate falling. So they can also be refinanced either into a new second tied to the prime or combined. So that's a quick summary of at least a few groups of people who can benefit tremendously from the recent changes.
Now, that's a good summary. How, Mehran Aram with us. Mehran, how much have the interest rates then come down from, say, a month or two ago? Have they come down at all?
Well, it depends when we say interest rates. The part that has to do with home equity lines of credit, tremendously. Like I said, down to 5.25% from 8.25%, a lot. As far as mortgage rates, an average 30-year fixed mortgage rate, give you a quick little synopsis, a little history, recent history on this. Last summer, they had gone up, conforming 30-year fixed rates had gone up to almost 6.75%. Well, they went down toward the end of January, early February, went down to 5.5% or thereabout. But then it shot up on March 6th when Carlisle Capital, you know, failed to meet its margin calls and they had to dump a whole bunch of mortgage bonds. But when you do that, you really diminish the value of mortgage bonds, and overnight, mortgage rates shot up. The next day, they shot up some more, and before you knew it, we were back close to 6.5. And then, of course, the government stepped in with some great moves, I think, you know, providing liquidity, $200 billion here, $200 billion there, and giving an opportunity to not just banks to borrow, but even broker-dealers to borrow from the Federal Reserve on more, you know, advantageous terms. That really put the, you know, floor under the mortgage bond market. It really, really helped. And then another thing that happened, so it was almost an instant upgrade for mortgage bonds. And then the next wonderful thing that happened is news of the regulators for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They lifted the capital requirements for Fannie Freddie, which because of the accounting irregularities in 2002-2003, they were required to have 30% larger capital. Well, they cut it down to 20, and that basically allows Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae to purchase an extra $200 billion of mortgage bonds. There's been some major liquidity problems, and that is fantastic news. With all of this and some bad economic news and volatility in the stock market, all of a sudden, 30-year fixed mortgage rates are back again down in the 5 5/8, mid 5% range, which is fantastic, but very volatile. I've never seen a more volatile market where sometimes in 1 or 2 days, mortgage rates move up and down 0.5%.
Yeah. All right, Mehran Aram. More information, of course, at his website, Aramco, A-R-A-M-C-O, mortgage.com, or you can call him at 1-877-600-1130. Is that right?
That's correct, 877-600-1130.
All right, Mehran, thanks so much. I appreciate the update.
Thank you, Roger.
Thank you, sir. 550 KOGO Wartime Traffic Report now by Cal Walker, brought to you by Sleep Train Mattresson.
News now, 3 to 7. AM 600, go, go.
All right, and again, we are giving out the web poll today, the Pastor Wright, Jeremiah Wright controversy versus his member of his congregation, one Barack Obama. Has the Pastor Wright controversy impacted your opinion of Barack Obama? Three choices, like him better, like him less, never liked him in the first place. So at RogerHitchcock.com. Doug and Tierra Santa. Hi, Doug.
Hey, Roger. You know, maybe it's just me and maybe it's a little bit technical, but he said a couple of things that I don't know if people quite comprehend. The first thing is conforming rates were increased, and the cap on conforming rates was increased a lot, like, you know, something in the low 400s to 700, I believe.
I think in San Diego it went from 417 to something like 670.
Yeah, what that does is it allows the banks and the investment companies to offload the risk for those loans from private investors onto the government. So now all of those jumbo loans, when they go belly up, it's going to be Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac that are going to have to write a check instead of the investment companies and the, you know, and
well, I don't think raising I don't think raising the limit on the loan has anything to do with the risk of that loan. In other words, if you're still getting a good, healthy down payment, if you're still verifying income, if you're still minimizing risk of payback, I mean, I have a jumbo loan or had one. It's, you know, jumbos are almost necessary if you're going to buy any kind of house in San Diego because 417 ain't going to cut it. So that's, you know, that's, Doug, a fact of life. The jumbo in San Diego was nearly everybody after the year 2000.
Well, but no, Roger, if people were putting down 20% or 15%, then at 417, that would get you right in about 500, which is where an entry-level loan should be. You know, you should,
I guess what I'm saying, Doug, is that your concern about the risk being shifted to the taxpayers would be correct if, in addition to increasing the amount of the threshold amount of the loan, that they also monkeyed around with the risk factors, which are, you know, your verified income, your credit history, your down payment, your appraisal, you know, all those things that go into, is the loan going to get repaid?
No, not exactly, because let's, you know, he brought up Carlyle Capital as his example. There's a fund that held primarily, you know, jumbo mortgages. And if Carlyle Capital had been able to offload those loans, and you know, and they went belly up because so many of the loans were not performing and they couldn't cover their margins. If Carlyle Capital had been able to offload those loans, to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, which they could under the new guidelines, then those loans are still not going to perform, except now the government has to, you and me have to cover those non-performances.
I wasn't aware of Carlyle. Most of the time these problems have come up because they bundled riskier loans with the non-risky loans and then tried to sell it as AAA stuff to European investors.
Right. Well, no, Carlyle is the kind of company that bought those bundled loans, and they had far too much exposure in the high-risk loans. The other thing he said is, you know, he still said, you know, you can buy, you can get a loan in a neighborhood where house prices are decreasing and you can only need to put 5% down.
No, he said where they weren't decreasing.
No, he said that in
no, where they weren't. No, I'm clear about this one, Doug. this one I heard. He said, no, if you're in a neighborhood where you're not experiencing lower and lower prices, where it's stabilized somehow, maybe PB today, for example.
Right.
Then they're not going to get, you know, 100% loan is possible, although probably it'd be 95. That's what he said.
Right. But, it still gets back to the thing, Roger. The core of this is people don't have to put their own skin into the deal.
Of course they're going to put their own skin into the deal. They move into a house that they have to lose, Doug? Come on.
No. If you're only putting 5% down or
5% of $600,000 is $30,000, Doug. I mean, you're on thin ice here. I mean, skin. Well, look to a middle class person. $30,000. I'm sorry, is not. Don't tell them they don't have skin in the game.
No, and the one thing that I will.
Do you believe vitamin C prevents polio?
Yeah. No.
Okay. Just checking.
None of this applies to people who are buying the house they live in. That's the other thing.
Well, there's a whole other conversation about that, but I need to run. Doug, thanks for the call. More, of course, interesting stuff on the local real estate market. Yikes. News according to me coming up.